Right into where we left off. I think I remember where we left off anyway. So we'll see. If not, I'll just repeat a few slides. So I want to read the text because I'm sure by now we got to refresh ourselves with the text, right? So Numbers 13 is where we're going to be reading. And so again, this Torah portion is number 37. Shalak laka is Hebrew for send, send to you, or send for yourselves. Numbers 13, 1 through Numbers 15, 41. And a half towards Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 24. So I'm not going to read the entirety of the 13, but we're going to start right here. The reports of the spies. So we'll cover some of this important stuff. This is important to our lives, especially understanding what actually transpired here. So in Numbers 13, 25, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So imagine this, 40 days, they're spying out the land. They're seeing things that nobody else is seeing. Nobody else is seeing what's happening. They're seeing it. Moses is not seeing it. Aaron's not seeing it. The rest of the children of Israel are not seeing it, but these 12 guys, they're seeing what's going on for 40 days. And I'm sure they're conversating back and forth. They're talking to each other. I'm sure they never kept silent for 40 days. They had conversation, especially when they come up on these huge cluster of grapes. They must have had a conversation about that, the pomegranates and all of this stuff. They had conversation about this land. This is amazing. And so they're talking to each other. So again, that verse is emphasizing to us they were there 40 days doing this. And they went and came to Moshe and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So they brought back word to them and showed them the fruit of the land. So they were pretty pumped about the fruit of the land. That was not something that they were having a problem with. But it's the report of the land that they struggled with. Some of them struggled. And sometimes it's the report that we struggle with. We struggle with the report. Now we know God is able. We see the fruit of the land. Who provided the fruit of the land? Jehovah. That's what he does. He does what he does. But what we see and how we perceive it, it can mess with us. How we perceive and what we see can mess with us. So it's the report that the problem was. They had a problem with the report. And so they're going to deliver this report to the people, to the congregation, to Moshe. They deliver this report. And they reported to him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey." No problem. God, just what he said is what it is. It flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. They brought the evidence of its fruit. So everybody knows that it don't literally mean that the streams had milk and honey in it. Right? We know that. But it was so lush. It was so beautiful that these are words you use. The land just keeps giving. Everywhere they went, it kept giving. It kept giving and giving. There was more than they could take in, but they wanted to show the evidence, so they brought the fruit and showed them this evidence. So everything God had said that he was going to do, it was. But here's again where that problem comes in. The problem's not with Jehovah, the problem's with us. It's the report, how we report stuff. What's our report? Very important. And they reported to him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. But the people who dwelt in the land are strong, and the cities are walled, very great. And we saw the descendants of Anak there too." So listen, all of a sudden the tone changes. The tone changes here. Because We know God is able. That's not the problem. That's not what we fight with. We don't fight with God's ability. We fight with our own ability. Our ability is to live by faith and trust Him with it for everything, especially after we're told something. So this is what Yeshua did. He told His disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Now, there was nothing negative in that. He didn't tell them, and by the way, there's going to be a storm when we get in the middle. He didn't tell them that. We're going to the other side. And so, in their mind, what's the one thing they had to remember? The other side. That was the promise, the other side. It wasn't a matter if there was going to be a storm and the boat would sink. None of that. Now, when they get going and the weather comes up. Now, where's Yeshua? What is He doing at this point? He's asleep in the hinder part of the ship. Why? Because in His mind, He's doing what? Going to the other side. That's done. Finished. That's what Jehovah told Him to say, and that's what He said. He got that word from the Father. Now, in His mind, He's going where? In their mind, what are they seeing? The storm. They're seeing the crisis. And it takes faith to get you out of the crisis so you can actually hear what God says, or you won't hear what He says. It takes faith. Or you can just stay in the storm. Either one, it's going to happen. The boat can sink. And so they panicked and said, Master, don't you care? Don't you care for us? Think about it. Now, He's asleep, not because He don't care, because He has confidence in His Father, and His Father said to tell them we're going to the other side, period. So in His mind, when He went to sleep, what He had in His mind? The other side. But the storm came up. And in life, that's what happens. In life, and everybody's had a storm or two or three or four or five. In life, you're going along and there it is. What do we do here? You got to go back to the promise. The promise is the promise. And so many folks give up because they look and what they're seeing is not, it's not coming together with the promise. What their eyes is looking at doesn't come together with the promise. It don't match. And when it doesn't match, we're trying to line it up, it don't match. What do? Instead of putting our trust and faith in Jehovah, because that's what He said, either He said it and it's true or He's a liar. Now, you don't call Him a liar, but you do in your actions. You do in your actions. You call Him a liar. And this is what these 10 were doing. They were saying, we know what He said, and here's the fruit to prove it. He's telling us the truth. But what we've seen and what we're up against is great. Wouldn't it be nice if you go through life and you didn't have no storms and you had no giants? Wouldn't that be nice? But what would we learn? What would we learn? They're not to hurt us. They're to help us. Difficulty is to help us. It's not to hurt us. God's not out to get us. And the enemy will constantly fill your brain with God's out to get you. He's out to distract you. That's not what His job is. His job is not to make us fail. It's to get us in a position where He knows the attack of the enemy. He knows the enemy's coming full force. And if He don't toughen you up a little bit, you're going to cave in to the first little push. You're going to fall down. You won't have no strength, no stability. If you don't exercise your faith, then how are you going to be strong when you need to use it? It's like anything. If you're a person who's capable of walking, but you refuse not to walk and you just sit, what's going to happen to you when you try to get up and walk? You're not going to be able to because you didn't exercise. You never used none of these muscles. There was nothing wrong with you. You just decided you weren't going to do it. And so you receive the effects of what you did by doing nothing. You got the effects of that. And this is what happened to these 10 guys. 10 guys out of 12, all of a sudden, started feeling the effects of not exercising their faith. Now, they didn't say that God lied. They just said everything he said was true. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. But, everybody put B-U-T on your paper. But, is where we always go wrong. Master, don't you care that we live? Get up, Master. Why are you sleeping? Because in his mind, where is he going? To the other side. That's what Yeshua was teaching them. In their mind, they heard what he said, but it didn't sink on good ground. It didn't mix itself with faith. The word has to be mixed with faith. When the word is mixed with faith, you hear what Yeshua hears. You'll hear what Caleb heard. You'll hear what Joshua heard. You'll hear that God said, I've given you the land, given it to you. It don't matter who's there. It doesn't matter who's in charge now. I'm giving it to you. That's why you got to understand prophecy is so important. Now, I don't know if you keep your prophecies wrote down, but you should. And I've exhorted this church many times on that. If you got a word from God, you better have put it somewhere and wrote it down, and you better revisit that until it comes true, every bit of it. And you've heard me repeat the prophecy in this building over and over and over and over again. You know why? Because the first time I repeated, he was God, and he's still God today. It don't make a difference how long it takes. He said it, and if he said it, I believe what he said, and we watch him do what he does. And here's what we have. These guys say, but the people who dwell in the land are strong. But you don't understand, Pastor. I do understand. Trust me, I understand. If you only knew how much I understand. I do understand. Because I'm not exempt from the issues of life either. I'm not exempt from the giants in the walled cities. And with the world sends your way, I'm not in the pastor bubble. I'm out there amongst everybody just like everybody else. But I choose to have a standard in my life that I won't compromise for nothing and for no reason. I choose to have a standard that I make sure that I'm covered before I go out amongst that area. I make sure of that because it's always in your face. Always there. It's ready to just snatch you out. And if you can be snatched, you will be. There ain't no super people in here. You will be snatched if you can be. The only thing protects you is you got to get the word and you got to mix it with faith. Now they got the word. He said, let us go to the other side. They got the word. But they didn't mix it with faith. And that's what he dealt with. So Master, are you going to get up and help us? And he gets up and he says, peace, be still. Any one of them could have done that. He didn't get peace because he was Yeshua. Any one of them in that boat could have did that because the word was you're going to the other side. This storm can't do anything to you. But when the boat's rocking and the boat's filling up and you bailing as fast as you can, it sure looks like you're about to lose. It looks like that. And it's going to happen. Whatever you accept is what it's going to be. Whatever you accept, that's what it's going to be. Bottom line, if you accept it, it will be that. You got to stand upon the word of God. Did he not promise this? Did he not prophesy this? And if he did, you stand on it with everything that's in you. The Amalekites dwell in the land. They didn't stop. They're going to keep going. Of the south, and while the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and their Canaanites dwelling by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. And Caleb silenced the people. Caleb silenced the people before Moshe and said, let us go up at once. I'm going to deal with how he silenced the people. And that's what you have. Sometimes you got to silence yourself. Because in your head is all sorts of voices. They're all the time, too. It's not just happens every now and then. All the time. There's all sorts of voices. And you got to silence the voice that's not Yehovah. And he said, my sheep know my voice. And if you don't know his, if you tell me, Pastor, I don't know what to do, I can't tell, then you're not saved. You have a salvation issue and you got to get that right. So we got to go all the way back to the beginning because you got a salvation issue if you don't know his voice. How do you tell his voice? You want to ask me how I tell his voice? Because when he speaks to me, he never speaks outside of his word. It's in the parameters of his word. Now, you might have a word issue where you don't even know his word. And so when he speaks, you don't know if it's him speaking or the devil speaking. You don't know what to believe. That's a bad spot to be in. You don't want to be there. Because you've been hanging out to hang out. It won't be long. You'll be succumbed to the voice. And it won't be his voice. This is exactly what's going to happen. And Caleb silenced the people before Moshe and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are certainly able to overcome it." Now, I want you to see, here's the same guy, one of the 12, who saw the same thing everybody else saw. They met the same, they were at the same walled cities, at the same strong people, at the land full of milk and honey, the pomegranates, the grape clusters, the figs. They all saw the same thing. But Caleb says, "Let's go now. Let's go get them right now." It's not even a problem. Notice that he's not saying, "Let's strategically plan. Let's get our military force." He's not saying none of that. He's going off the promise. The promise God said, "I give you the land. If you give it to me, I'm going to start walking on it and possessing it." Sometimes you got to get your foot up and get it on the promise. You got to step on it and you got to claim what God has for you. And that's the issue is when we got to do something, We get handicapped. Get your foot up and get it on it. Remember what he told Joshua? When you get your foot up and get on the land, wherever your foot tread, I'm giving it to you. Walk out the land. He paced out the land, and the first city they come to was Jericho. It didn't matter how big the walls was. Did it matter? Did it matter? Did they have cannons? Did they have cannons? Did they have dynamite to blow the walls up? That's what we would think. You have no idea, God, what's going on. It's going to be so big, we may not ever come out of this. And you're explaining this to God, and God says, "Okay, whenever you're done, slow down a little bit. I'm going to take you back to what I said. It's yours." What you mean it's mine? It's yours. You got to learn how to receive for yourself. Receiving for yourself is an act of your own will, your will. You got to reach out, grab hold to it, and pull it in. If you don't do that, then it's not yours. It's there. It's on the table. It's been on the table the whole time. But you can't live it out because you won't reach out, grab hold to it, and pull it in. You got to pull it in. You got to be a good receiver. And a good receiver, they pay them really well because they don't miss. And let me tell you, every service, not some service, every service you get a chance to be in, you got to be sitting on the front row, leaning forward and saying, "I'm ready to receive. God, whatever you have for me, I come to get it." You can't say, "Well, it's Wednesday night. It's just Wednesday." Every service, every opportunity you get, you got to be at the edge of your seat and you're ready to receive. It's an intense, it's on purpose. You set the motion on everything that's going to flow your way. You got to set it up. And that's what Yeshua, he just relaxed. Why was he relaxed? Because he's going to the other side. It don't matter what they face. It didn't make a difference. "Master, get up. We're going to die. We're going to drown." And he gets up and calms the sea. And then he asks him, "Where's your faith?" That's what he asked him. "Where's your faith at? I'm with you and your faith is missing. I'm right here next to you. I'm in arm's reach to you. And if I can just get a little closer to God." Well, let me just tell you, you're in arm reach of him. He's close. But our faith has to be activated. Has to be activated. See, we think when nothing's happening, he's so far away he can't even hear me. He's listening. He's in arm reach. He's right there. So he's in the situation, but you got to activate what he can do. And how does it activate? Based on what he said, I'm going to move forward. Based on what he said. And what did he say? You ought to have it written down. You ought to be reading it every day. That's what he said, period. It's going to be done. I can't emphasize it enough. I can only tell you what I tell myself every day. It don't make a lot of sense to me sometimes, but I tell myself anyway, this is what God said. If you want to know how I've kept the faith all these years and kept going, it's because I tell myself every day, you said. If you said, then what gives me the right to change what you said? I don't get to change what you said. You said it. And if he says, I'll give you the land, it's your land. That's your land. Now go spy out the land so the people can. And now 10 people comes and starts telling the people, man, we're in trouble. They strong. They got walled cities. It's plush. Don't get me wrong. It's nice. It's nice. They got it flows with milk and honey, just like God said. But man, let me tell you, we're up against it. The Amalekites in the land in the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. They're saying all the days. And Caleb says, hey, silent, silent. What are you doing? Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are certainly able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able. They double down on their negativity. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. There's no way I can come out of this situation, really. What about God being big? What about him being awesome? What about what he, if he can call nothing into existence, if he can start with nothing and create everything you see around you, can he not take a situation that seems impossible and make it work? Can he not? So that's how my mind operates every day. It operates that way. It functions that way. Now, is that because my mind's better than your mind? No, my mind's not better than your mind. As a matter of fact, you'd be shocked if you got to peek into my mind, because it gets a little squirrely sometimes. I can't spell correctly. I'm a little slow when it comes to typing. But when I read the Bible, it helps my mind. All of my inabilities seem to vanish. And I see myself as a person who can understand the Word of God. He's not trying to hide anything from me. And I see myself as somebody that's different than who I am. I realize that it's not me that's living, but Christ that lives in me. And when he stands up, it's like he's a giant. He stands up in me. He's the one that lifts me up. When he stands up, I stand up. When he says we're going to the other side, I go, okay. I'm not fighting him. I'm not pulling back and saying, well, you don't understand, Lord. What about this? What about that? How's this going to happen? There's a lot of things you won't know. There's a lot of things you don't know. And you won't know. That's why it's called you got to trust him. You got to trust him. And you don't know how bad you need to trust him until you have to trust him. You have no idea, but you have to trust him. But the men who had gone with him said, we're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel an evil report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies in the land eats up its inhabitants. We don't have a chance. We don't have a chance going up against them. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. He says, listen, they're giving an evil report to the people. Now, these are not just your ordinary guys. These are not just 12 guys they pick random. These are leaders. These are leaders. And so take 12 leaders, and 10 of those leaders come back and say, don't listen to these two. These two are out of their mind. We all saw what they are. And let me tell you, Jehovah was right. The land is nice. The land is great. But their people are great. They're way greater than we are. We can't do this. Or have you forgotten? Have you lost your mind? He just took you out of Mitzrayim by a miracle. The same God that said, that's yours, took you out of a land that you was in bondage for a long time. You couldn't get yourself out, but he took you out of that. Have you forgotten that? The one when you came in the desert and there was no water, the water spewed out of a rock to give drink to millions of people. Have you forgotten that? Have you forgot when you come to the Red Sea and the mountains are surrounding you and there's the sea that a wind came and blew the water away and you walked across on dry ground? Have you forgotten that? Have you forgotten these things? Are you missing this? How are you not getting this? Notice that everything they saw was greater than them. If your problem is greater than you, it's greater. Nobody can change that for you. It's greater. It's bigger than you. It's more than I can handle. I'll never make it through it. There's nobody can do this. Keep getting it great. You say, but I have financial issues. They're just so tough. Well, let me tell you, most of the time, financial issues solve themselves when you quit spending. And you start saving, and you start saving, living within your means and not above your means. They kind of go away. Now, it's not all the time. I said most of the time. Sometimes you have a genuine tragedy that happens, and you had something you couldn't even plan for. It seemed like there it was, and you had a big expense. And now what I do? Trust God. Trust God. Can he not do it? Can he not do it? I'll give you a quick little story. So I've been talking with Nathaniel back and forth because we're moving along in this. I got drawings, diagrams, buildings, everything, pricing, and we're moving along. Well, anyway, he's filled his whole church in during Shavuot. Because I just talked to a select group when I was there. They weren't everybody there. And I eased them in. He said, Pastor, you're good at easing people in. So I eased them in. So, and then it was up to him. He's the pastor. I'm not the pastor there. I'm just helping him. And so now he had 3 or 4 people with him helping everybody else come along. Anybody. Well, anyway, he sent a text out and he said, listen, keep in mind to his church, you know how we send texts out? Keep in mind, we need to get our hands on heirloom seeds. Sent the text out. Boom, there it goes. It goes to everybody. Ding, 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 their phones. Everybody's looking. So his brother-in-law looks and says, oh, Nathaniel wants us to look for heirloom seeds. Well, they had a neighbor lady's house helping her because her husband died. And they're helping her pack her stuff because she's moving back to Oklahoma because she's not from Alabama. So they're over there being neighborly and helping. And there's a big trash pile where they're just putting stuff to trash. And she's selling the property. She's moving, not coming back, done. And in the trash pile, there's this box sitting there, just a box. And the brother-in-law looks over there and it says seed vault on the box. So he went back inside and said to the lady, he said, I noticed in the trash pile there's a box that says seed vault. What is it? She said, oh, it's just junk my husband just collected over the years. I don't want none of it. He said, well, can I have it? So he went out there, got the seed vault, says seed vault on it, opened it up, and it was heirloom seeds. Bought in 2018, not one of them was open. So guess what he did? He grabbed his phone. And he replied right away to Nathaniel and said, brother, you're not going to believe this. See, faith, when you activate it, it works. So Nathaniel replied back to him and says, that was pretty fast, wasn't it? God worked pretty fast. And so he wanted him to know that. Well, anyway, as soon as the whole event happened, guess who's the next person Nathaniel called? Me. He said, I want you to know about this because God's moving. And he will move. He'll continue to move. Because the promise is the promise. Now, he made a promise to Abraham, didn't he? He made a promise to him, and he's going to keep that promise. Now, there's some things that Abraham died and not received, and we think, well, that's over. Is it? He's going to receive everything God said, because when he raises him back up, in the resurrection, he's going to go, wow, Jehovah, you're amazing. You're absolutely incredible. I thought it was over. Some died not receiving the promise. That's a discouraging thing. But will they receive it? Oh, yeah, because God can't lie. He can't lie because everything that comes out of his mouth, it'll be. So I heard a preacher say one time, if God says this shirt's blue, it won't be this color anymore. It'll be blue because he can't lie. So if I say, what color is his shirt? And he says, blue, it'll be blue instantly. Because whatever flows out of him has life and power and authority, and everything else is subject to it, even color, sound, subject to God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you don't think money subject to God? You don't think your health subject to God? You don't think your family subject to God? You don't think any of those things? They are. But faith has to be activated. Because the first thing Yeshua said to the disciples, where's your faith? Was he not exercising his faith by being asleep in the hinder part of the ship? He was exercising his faith because he knew where they were going, the other side, period. Other side, that's where we're going. And we saw that the Nephilim, so it's not getting better. It just keeps building and building. We saw the Nephilim, the son of Anak, the Nephilim, and we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. You're going to be however you see yourself. If you see yourself defeated, you'll be defeated. If you see yourself discouraged, you'll be discouraged. However you see yourself, that's exactly what you'll be. It's not other people putting it on you. We put it on ourselves. If you see yourself defeated, you will be defeated. That's exactly what it is. Let me tell you, I learned this a long time ago. If you want to know why this place is named Faith Temple, because I had to learn faith and I learned it on the fly a long time ago. And I had to see myself different. Now, I grew up on the same village that everybody else grew up in. Went to the same school everybody else went to. I went to those same schools and I had the same education, same financial situation everybody else had. We were poor. That's just what it was. But I had to see myself different. I told Lord, if I'm going to help the people come out of that nonsense, then I got to do it myself. I got to see myself different. And that wasn't because God was shining on me that happened. It was because I stood and said, God, I'm going to trust what you said, period. And I had to learn that early on. I had to trust him. And it wasn't because we had 15 people lined up giving encouraging statements to us the whole time. There was nobody. There was nobody. It was him every day. Him every set apart spirit, constantly encouraging. You can do this. But I got to check you to make sure you're growing. I got to check to see where your faith is. And let me tell you, God checked me a lot of times. Lots of times he checked me to find out where I was. And if he wouldn't have checked me, I wouldn't have knew where I was. I wouldn't have knew. I'd have succumbed to everything that was happening around me. And so hopefully you'll get a hold to these texts. Now, that was just reading the text. Let me go where we need to start. I'm not sure exactly where Brother Scott left off, but I'm going to read this one. I don't know if he read 58. Isaiah 58:12, but I'll start there. I think he went to 70-something, somewhere around that area. Now, Isaiah 58:12, now that was this verse used to be on this back wall. How many remember that when we printed it? We printed it and put it up because we were struggling. How many remember this? Now you're sitting here and you remember this. This is the verse that the Lord reminded me of when we kind of go through this promise. He promised us, but we're in the midst of this storm and this crisis, but we see God doing stuff. We seen God do stuff with every volunteer that ever came. We seen God do stuff. We didn't know, okay, God, so why are we here? Why are we doing this? And we're meeting all these folks, and everything's going on. We're seeing God do stuff. And so every time you get discouraged, you see God do something, you go, well, I can't be discouraged about this. This is great. This is incredible what he's doing. And you got it lifts you up, and you move. You take the next step. Well, the next step is the next day or whatever, and you met with something else. And you're so tired from the day before, you don't know if you can make it. But you can either see the crisis every day, or you can wait for the moment he's going to change that and bring encouragement to you, like today, boom. And you take the next step. That's exactly what the walk is. You walk from faith to faith and from glory to glory. It's not sit still and wait for it to fall off out of a tree and hit you in the head. It's not going to happen that way. You got to walk. You got to take the next step, the next step, the next step. Isaiah 58:12, and those from among you shall build the old ways place. Where they're coming from? Those are where? Among. Those among you. Those ones you're hanging out with. That's why we got to watch who we hang out with and who we say, what we say to people. We have to be careful, because if you say the wrong thing to the wrong person and they make a reply, you can shake your head all you want. It still goes in the ear gate. And when it hits the ear gate, it gets into the sensory realm. And once it leaves the brain and hits your heart, you're a believer. You're a believer. You can believe nonsense, or you can believe what Jehovah said. Now you got a battle going on the inside of you. It's not on the outside now. It's on the inside. It is ripping. It's tearing. It's pawing at you. And you don't know if you what to think. It's just constantly pawing at you. And it's ripping at you, because now you got something on the inside that somebody else said that opposite or opposes what Jehovah said. It opposes it. Now the battle's raging. Now, but one person can settle that, and that's you. You have to settle it. I can't tell you how many times that happened to me. I had opposing views on the inside. The devil was telling me one thing, and people were saying one thing, and Jehovah said this. This is what he said. And the reason you get opposing views on the inside is because you got to be careful who's among you. Among you is not just the people you go to church with. Among you is the people that you allow in your life. They can be a family member. They can be friends. Whatever. And some, you know, you got family members, and they're your family. It could be your sister, your brother. But you don't listen to what they say. You know, they say stuff, but it don't affect your relationship with God. They say stuff all the time. That means you can still have close friends and don't pay no mind to what they say, because they're not coming from a biblical standpoint. They're not coming from the Bible. Now, if you don't have nobody that comes from the Bible, you need to get you some. Most of the time, you'll find one that's doing that for sure, and that's the pastor. And if he's not doing it, leave immediately. Tell him, see you later, partner. You go ahead and preach your nonsense, but I'm not listening to it. That's what you do. But if he's preaching the word of God, he's constantly building your faith, or should be. Constantly building your faith. Constantly challenging you, because he knows the next day could be a war of your life. Could be the fight of your life. And this is what Jehovah is constantly doing to the children of Israel. He says, listen, tomorrow you're going to go and you're going to be out there for 40 days. For 40 days they were going. They all saw the same thing. They all heard the peeps from the people and everything. They saw everything that was there, and 10 of them couldn't get it out their head. They couldn't. And so what they did, they sold their negativity to the rest of the nation there. And that made Caleb so angry that he did that. He says, and those from among you shall build the old wave place. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. And you would be called the repairers of the breach, the restorers of streets to dwell in. Now, I remember saying from the exact spot I'm standing, who are we? Who are we? I remember saying that. Who are we? Sometimes you got to say it often. And you got to understand that these are the prophecies of God spoken over our life. If that's who we are, then he's setting us up for a reason. Now, if we're repairs of the breach, what do we do when the breach happens? Run from it? Hide? If you're repairs of the breach, what do you do when there's a breach? You had it, let's go. Like the firemen during 9/11. When the building's on fire and they're looking up there and it's on fire and it's burning, they were running up the steps. They were going to get people out because that was their job. They knew who they were and they had confidence in them. Now, they weren't running up that step. I'm going to die today. I'm dying today. They were going for life. I got to save somebody. If I can save somebody. Now, a lot of them died, over 3,000. Think about it. But that's a person who sold out for what they believe in. Now, you know, there's a lot of people believe in a lot of stuff. Not everybody believes in Jehovah. Not everybody believes that, but they sold out to what they believe in. And they're determined. And now, we should have more determination than anybody. Because we're talking about a God who cares so much for us that he sent his only son to die for us and to prove to us that he was the right one. He raised him from the dead. He said, this will be the only sign you're going to get. Just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in a great fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And that's the sign he showed us. And that's Once we figured out how to count, we figured it out, it was right. So we know that we serve a great God. And he's telling us who we are. Who are we? Repairs of the breach. So what do you do when a breach happens? All hands on deck and let's get busy. You say, but you know when you have a breach in the wall that's a flood? And you try to step in that wall, it's just gushing through and you can't, sometimes you, all your strength, you can't hold on. Some people get swept away. Some people can't hold on. They want to hold on, but they lost strength and they got swept away. And so you feel all these different emotions and you're trying to figure out what we're going to do. Let me tell you what you do. You don't stop until the breach is repaired, because that's who you are. You don't stop until the breach is repaired, because that's who you are. And somebody's got to do it. If you're not going to do it, you've been called to do it, somebody's going to have to step up and do it, because that's what God promised. He promised that. Now he's taking the people from slavery, give them promises, and now they're going to possess the land. When they possess the land, they have to go look at it first. And they come back, and they have all sorts of things happening. Let me just back up. I didn't think I had it. But let me back up just a little bit from this. To this slide right here. Pomegranates and figs. Did you cover this? Pomegranates and figs? Well, let me tell you, it's too good to leave on the table. Pomegranates and figs. What was brought back beside the cluster of grapes was pomegranates and figs. These two have a great significance for us in Scripture. On the hem of a robe or the shoulder garment of the high priest, there was golden bells and pomegranates of blue, purple, scarlet, and a significant picture indeed. What is interesting about the pomegranate is the fact that there are many seeds inside this, and this certainly represents the word that is sown by the farmer who has expectation of its return. I want you to know the word has been being sown in us. When he's giving you the promises, the word, this service after service, they're not just for us to come and take up the time so we can say, okay, Shabbat's over, I can go back to work now. That's not what it's for. So seeds are being sown. And you don't even know what they're for. Some people say, Pastor, when are we going to get off these Torah portions? Why would we do that when we haven't learned them all yet? Come on, amen. We sow in seed. I know people don't understand it. But their seed needs to be sowed. Now, you don't know how bad you need the seed until you need it. You don't really know how bad you need it until you need it. The bells can be symbolic to the trumpet call of our master soon coming. The questions remain as to what he will find. Will he find faith? Will he find faith? Because if without faith, we can't even please Jehovah. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, he said. Impossible. Does everybody understand that? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So can you see why Yeshua was working on their faith a little bit? Because he knew they were lacking faith. He already knew that. When he went to sleep, he knew. When he laid down, he must have said, God, Father, you're about to get them, aren't you? I know. I can't do nothing for them. They got to learn this lesson. Now, he was their rabbi. He could have stopped it out. He could have just stayed up with them and said, okay, guys, see the land? That's where we're going. Don't look at nothing else. And all of a sudden, the clouds get dark. Don't look at nothing else, fellas. Just see the land right there. See the land. And all of a sudden, the lightning starts popping. And they expand. Don't look at the lightning. See the land? That's where we're going. We're almost there. Keep rowing, guys. The water starts coming in the boat. Don't worry about the water. See the land? It's right there. He could have did that. But his father says, go to sleep, my little boy. I'm about to get them. I'm about to show them. They're talking about they walking with Yeshua. They're doing all this with Yeshua. They're his people. We're about to check them right now. We're about to find out. And they needed that lesson. Sometimes we don't realize the lesson we need. In life, we go through them all the time. And we go, God, I'm trying to do everything you asked me to do. Why am I going through this? Why am I faced with this? We don't realize that he's trying to teach us. He's trying to show us. He's trying to get us to get it. And we have to see how serious that is. Will he find faith? Will he find an active faith? Not just faith, but an active faith that has taken that which has been sown and multiplied it or not? So that which has been sown, what do we have to do with it? It has to be multiplied. How do we do that? You can't do it without active faith. It's time that we step up and get something done. That's what he's trying to tell us. Now, I want you to look at this. There's a lot of seeds there. Lots of seeds. And he's trying to, so they got these pomegranates. They weren't just random things they were closest to, so they grabbed them. Everything they did was to teach a lesson. Everything they grabbed was to teach a lesson. And now, did they need that lesson? Did they need these props? Do you think they needed them? Well, we got 10 guys that heard the same message, went to the same church, had the same pastor. 10 people. And they didn't have, no, they didn't gather their seeds like this. But Caleb, I want you to look at this pomegranate and understand Caleb was full of these. He was full of these seeds because we know where Caleb was when Moshe was speaking. He was on the front, leaning forward. You know where Joshua was? Right next to him. The 10 guys, they were laid back, relaxed, maybe flipping through their phone a little bit every now and then. You put it on the side of you, you can do it in church. You said, does it matter? It does matter. You know when you don't know it? You know when you know it matters? When you're in a crisis. It matters. You say, why does that matter? Why does it matter? It matters to God because he's been trying to get us ready for what we're about to face. And if we haven't learned anything, we're going to suffer for it. So he gives the pomegranate as a lesson, object lesson. In Luke, it says, in Luke 18:8, I say to you that he shall do right to them speedily, but when the Son of Adam comes, shall he find the belief on the earth? When the Son of Adam comes, shall he find belief on the earth? Will faith be there? Will he find it? And so the Hebrew word for pomegranate is Ramon. Ramon is strong 7416, meaning pomegranate. This word reminds me of the 15th stop of the 42nd stop in the wilderness journey, which was called Ramon Peretz. Ramon Peretz is strong 7428, which means pomegranate of the breach. Now that's why I backed up so I can connect it to Isaiah 58. Pomegranate of the breach, or abundant fruit, or stand in the breach. Who's going to stand in the breach? Those who are full of the word. You can count on it. If they're full of the word, when that crisis comes, they're going to be standing right in the breach. And sometimes we don't realize that that's what God has called us for. He called us to stand in that breach, to build the hedge, fix the brokenness, the gap. It comes from two words, Ramon 74:16, which means pomegranate, and Peretz, which is strong 65:56, which is a bursting forth, breach, breakthrough, outburst, increase, prosperous. We ought to bear much fruit, and we ought to be repairers of the breach as we look out for and encourage one another. We look out for and encourage one another. Two words reflect a fruitful tree that bears much seed, but also represents a breaking. Any tree that does not bear fruit will be cut off. Let us not break others down when we are bearing fruit of righteousness, but rather encourage and build up one another. We have to build up one another, build one another up. And so, listen, when a tree's not bearing fruit, what does he do? What does he do? He prunes it. Why? Because he wants it to bear more fruit. Now, pruning is never fun. There's some things in our life that obviously needs cutting away, and he'll come in there and take care of that. Sometimes we're not so voluntarily wanting to give it up, so he takes it. How many ever had anything taken from you? That's not fun. One time we just got the boat built brand new boat. The boat I bought for mullet season. Brand new boat. Just got the power roller put on it, put everything on it. Man, first time we ever had a boat with a power roller on it for mullet season. We get up in the morning going down there. Me and Dad gets in the boat, and he's getting the boat ready, and I'm warming the engine up. I go to back up. He says, whoa, don't go nowhere. I said, what's the matter? He said, look where the motor was. I said, what do you mean the motor? The motor that runs the power roller was gone, brand new, gone. It was the season just getting there. Everybody needed a motor for the power roller, so They decided ours was theirs. So all that time you're waiting, you're getting ready, you go down and it's taken. Boy, it just gets under your skin. Nobody likes anything taken from them. But there are some times in life that Yehovah has to take from us because he's trying to get us to understand something. He's trying to get us to build our faith, to trust him. And then we got so much clutter around us and voices around us that he has to remove the voices so we can hear him clearly. And that happens many times. And this is what happened to the children of Israel. They got 10 guys standing up says, but we can't do this. No, we can't survive this. We out here and we're in trouble. We're not going to make it out of this. And Caleb got frustrated and he silenced them. Said, be silent, silent. Well, you hear what you're saying. You're speaking against Yehovah. Because you got to watch. Sometimes your words come out because of emotion and you don't realize you're speaking against Yehovah. You don't win that, ever. Never do you win that. You have to be careful. Now I'm back to this verse. I had to back up a little bit. And those from among you shall build the old waste place. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called repairers of the breach, restorers of streets to dwell in. And we've seen that in John 15, 5 and 6. We covered this earlier. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who stays in me, minno. Everybody say minno. That word minno is very important. You got to stay. It's key. If you don't stay in him, then how are you going to have any hope? There's no hope. You got to stay in him. He who stays in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Because without me, you are able to do naught. Nothing. If anyone does not stay in me, minno, stay in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. The pomegranate is full of seeds, and this reminds us of the promise given to Abraham in that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky. And what is also interesting about the pomegranate is the red juice that can be symbolic for us as the blood of Messiah, where the Torah tells us that the life of the flesh resides. Life of the flesh resides in the blood. And it is through the blood of Messiah that the body is brought together, the breach is repaired. The body's brought together and the breach is repaired. So how in the world, now how many seen that pomegranate? How tight was those seeds? I don't know if you ever, have you ever eaten pomegranate yourself? You take the pomegranate and there's a certain, if you can look at videos, it shows you how to cut it because there's a correct way to cut it. You don't just cut it. You can divide it into four parts and they stay in there. And then you can take these seeds out and they come out real easy. Because there's a way to do it. You just score it and it opens up and it's beautiful. Well, anyway, those seeds are compact in there. And it's just seeds. It's full of seeds. And it's got this membrane that encapsulates this juice, this pomegranate juice that's red in color. Now, I'm not a big fan of pomegranate. Because, I tried to just chew it up and swallow the seeds and it gets to me after one taste. I'm like, okay, this ain't working. But a lot of people put them on their salads and they can eat it just like that. You know, it's no problem. But it's just the seed part that gets me. I like the other stuff. So normally if I want pomegranate, I buy it squeezed already. In a little round jug, you know, it's a little round. So you can pour it in and it's wonderful. But the whole part of the pomegranate, he said, look how tight it is. And so the body comes together tight. When you have a crisis, you don't scatter. What happened when they was going across the prairie? When they were being attacked? They circled the wagons. This is what we have to do. But we get so trained that everybody's on their own. Everybody's going to do their own thing. And that we don't realize that here we are practicing Torah. We're going to church. But we don't really realize how scattered we are. It's time to circle the wagons. You know, I might have a family member or one or two that I want to protect, but I'm not just protecting them. I have other people in this circle that we have to protect. And we all stand in, and wherever there's a gap, you put a body and you protect. Why? Because who are we? Repairs of the breach. And he's trying to tell us that through the pomegranate. And so we have Yeshua, Messiah, is the repairer of the breach. Ultimately, we all had this breach in our life. The covenant was broken and we had this breach. And it was like the enemy had full access to us. How many remember when he had full access to you? And he was trying everything he could in all of his power to kill you before you got saved. He was trying to kill you, destroy your life, to ruin your life. He had access because they had a breach there. But Yeshua came. When he came, he repaired the breach. And Satan don't have access to us. Now, we go along in life. After we get going, you're going along and he has no access to you. You start having success in serving Jehovah. You have success. You're studying your Bible. You're reading your Bible. You're praying. You're making services. You're doing all those things that are necessary. These are not options. They're necessary for your survival. Necessary. We're going along and you're extending yourself to other people. You're realizing that you're not just you living for you. You're living for other people. How you conduct your life is going to affect somebody else. Do you understand? How you conduct your life affects other people. Your affairs are not just your affairs. They affect other people. How you conduct your speech and how you act and what you let get under your skin affects other people. So you have to be careful. You know how many times I had to reel it in? Come back. Is it worth saying what you want to say? I know you're mad, but that's okay. That's what happens. That's how it's with me. I don't know about you, but that's how it happens with me. Set apart spirits. I know you're mad, but is it worth it? Is it worth it? Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen carefully to what I'm telling you. And you know what he reminds me of? Not something that I didn't do. Not something that I'm not familiar with. He reminds me of what I've been familiarizing myself with the week before. He reminds me the week before. Remember when you read that? What about that? Is that not true still today? We know we had a different day, a different time, but is it not still true? Is it not still the word of God? And you got to pipe it down and you got to keep it quiet. And it's always victory when you do that. Always. I've had it happen so many times. Promises given to Abraham is yes and amen. When the two spies bring back pomegranate, pictures for us the assurance we have in the word of Elohim standing forever, and his covenant is everlasting. The figs also carry an important picture for us as it represents fruitfulness and peace. The promise given to a returning bride is that each one will sit under their own vine and fig tree. Each one will sit under their own vine and fig tree. In Jeremiahu, in Jeremiah 24, we see how the prophet was given a vision of two baskets of figs. Now this is very important right here. Two baskets of figs. I want you to get that in your mind. I don't have a picture of it, but I want you to picture it in your mind. Two baskets of figs. One ripe and the other rotten. And this would be a reminder to us of our need to guard the word of Yehovah completely. This is the issue. This is where the breakdown happens. We don't guard the word of Yehovah completely. Now, did Yeshua guard the word of Yehovah? What did Yehovah tell him? You say, well, don't say he told him anything. Well, yeah, he said, we're going to the other side. He said, these are not my words. So whose words were they? Yehovah did tell him that. Son, you're going to the other side. And he said, we're going to the other side. Do you see how that works? He was following what his father said. And it makes a difference. Guarding the words of Yehovah completely. At least we be found to be among the rotten figs that are of no use. So when I'm done with this, you're either in one of these baskets. You're in one of them. Either good ripe figs or rotten figs. Now, I don't know about you, but last time I pulled up to a nice big juicy plate of rotten figs, I just loved them. Y'all know I'm just being facetious, right? Nobody wants rotten figs. I mean, you smell them from, you get in the room, you're not even by the table yet. You go, ooh, that needs to be thrown out. But figs right off the fig tree. Man, Uncle Preston brought me some figs off the tree, and I sat up beside them figs, and I just took one at a time, and till they were all gone, because they were good. They weren't smelling, they weren't rotten. Do you understand how important that is? Now watch what he says. Jeremiah 24:3. And Yehovah said to me, "What do you see, Yirmiyahu?" And I said, "Figs. The good figs, very good. And the spalt, very spalt. Which could not be eaten, they are so spalt." I know we don't use spalt, we use spalled. But that's what's in the Bible. I just copied and pasted the scripture. So you deal with that yourself. I don't have time to go over that and try to explain to you that it makes no sense to even talk about it. But you handle that. As we consider the description that is given to Yirmiyahu regarding the two baskets of figs that were found at the heckle of Yehovah. At the heckle, everybody knows what that means, right? That's that place, that's that sanctuary, that's that spot, that main spot in which you're always going to find Yehovah. Why? Because he never changes. That spot is special. Every time you feel like you lost him, return back to the heckle. And you'll find when you return back to the spot where you can lock eyes with him, there's nothing like it. The only time we lose sight of Yehovah is when we left that spot. You want to be back in that spot? Anybody can get back to that spot. But you got to lock eyes with him. We are able to see a clear warning being given against those who do not bear true fruit of righteousness, while a clear encouragement being given to those who obey and submit to Yehovah even under the threat of exile. Two baskets, two groups, a clear separation. Two baskets, two groups, a clear separation. Understand, we're not talking about church folks and worldly folks. We're talking about church folks, everybody. Just like 10 wise and 10 foolish maidens. If you want to get an example. 10 wise and 10 foolish. So we have two baskets, two groups, a clear separation. He's trying to show Yirmiyahu something that we got to grab hold to. Now you're going to be one of these baskets, depending on how you conduct your life and how you conduct your affairs. You're going to be one of them. What is interesting to take note of here is how this vision shows us that these two baskets were both before the heckle of Yehovah. Where were they? What? Both before the heckle of Yehovah. We're in the house. But we hadn't learned anything. Now, I want to ask you, was Yeshua in a different boat than the disciples? Was he in a different boat? He was in the same boat. Did he feel the waves when the boat moved the boat? When the waves moved the boat, did he feel that? Sure he felt it. What about the spray, when the spray come over the side, when the waves, did he feel the spray? He felt the spray. What about the darkness? Did he sense this darkness? Sure he did. What about the lightning that was going on? He saw all of that. He saw every bit of it. They were in the same heckle. But he came out with a different message. 12 spies saw all the same thing in the same heckle, same promise, and 10 of them came out with a negative report. How is that possible? When in fact they are nothing but rotten and evil. So we're in the same heckle, and what we see today is how many people think that they are ripe and fine before the heckle of Yehovah, when in fact they are nothing but rotten and evil. That's a bad spot to be in. The Bible says it this way in Galatians, when a man thinks himself to be something when he's not, he deceives his own self. So some of you might think, well, I've been deceived. You haven't been deceived. The person's deceived. A person who thinks himself to be something when he's not, he deceives his own self. We know who we are. We know when we prayed. We know when we read the Bible. We know when we was obedient. We know when we did. We know when we weren't reading. We know when we weren't being obedient. We know when he told us to do it and we just neglected it. We know all those things. So don't kid yourself. You're rotten in a fig basket. One of the fig baskets that Yirmiyahu is seeing as he prophesies this vision, he's seeing it. That's where you are. And the thing is, it's up to us to call that out. So we see it. Let's not kid ourselves. So many today assume that they are all fine and that there are absolutely nothing wrong with their worship, while their lives are riddled with selfishness and compromise. We have to be so careful. Well, from what I can tell, I'm fine. If you got to project yourself out in words like that, you probably are teetering or leaning on the basket of rotten figs, if not in it. Because we don't want to be told anything. We don't want to be corrected of anything. And by no means do we want the pastor to look at us when he's preaching. Sometimes that's hard. I can only look up at the thing so much, and you think I'm lost in my mind. What's that up there? The vents. Sometimes I scan the vents. But do you understand how important it is that we see what is happening here? In Jeremiah 7, this is a clear warning from Yehovah. Tell them not to use false words and say, "This is the heckle of Yehovah." And the heckle of Yehovah when the rest of their lives are filled with deceit and compromise. So there's not two ways happening here. Either he is God and he's doing something for you and he's going to do what he said, or he's not. It'd be better for you to say he's not than to think that I'm good. God's got me. But we've done nothing to assure that in our own life. We haven't taken the pomegranates and brought them in and let that seed go deep inside of us and the blood of Yeshua cleanse us the way it needs to. We're just saying things, saying words. But it's going to catch you. It's only a matter of time. Many display a form of worship yet lack the true power of complete obedience and live in set-apart lives unto Yehovah. I told Charlotte this today, we was talking. I said, how many times, I asked her a question, I said, how many times you heard me say, this is not a game? How many times you heard me say, you can't be joking around with God? If you're going to do this, it's got to be serious. How many times have I said that over and over and over again? When you give your word to Yehovah, it's got to mean something. Because it means something to him. And what did they all say? Whatever you say, we will do. We in there. But when it came time to it, when they got called on the line, they scattered. The question we need to always be able to answer as we live our lives in total set-apartness is, what basket are you in? What basket are you in? There's one good basket, very good, and there's one basket that's rotten and full of evil. Because what he calls rotten, he calls it full of evil. Now I'm going to explain that to you. Before anyone simply assumes to be in the ripe, good basket, they must make sure that their lives are in complete submission to the Word and that they remain in Messiah through a total obedience of walking in his commands. In order that he remains in them, and is able to present them as acceptable and good before the Father without shame. In Mark 8:38, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinning generation, of him the son of Adam also shall be ashamed when he comes in the esteem of his Father with the set apart message. Let me ask you something. Who's hearing these slides for the first time? Let me see your hand. Just lift your hand, hold it up so I can see. These slides for the first time. Because Brother Scott didn't cover none of these. All right? Well, let me just tell you, these are the same slides from last year. I put these together. Same exact ones. I never did anything to them but highlighted some of the words in it. Highlighted some spots. They're the same ones. And they're available in our archives to go over. That's how important this is. You can access them and go over them. They're not just giving to Brother Scott or Brother Chad. Are they not? Am I saying this wrong? Are they available? So generally, we're putting them on there, right? So we put them on there, and you can access them. You go to them, and they're there. And I suggest for everybody to access them and go look at them and do your own study and compare your notes. They are so important. Now, I've been through every one of these slides probably 6 or 7 times already. So I got a lot to say about them because there's a lot to learn in here, a lot of it. So don't say, well, I don't have the access to. You have the access, but you gotta apply yourself to it, and I encourage every one of you to do that. That's why before we come up here, I stand there and I send it to them, and these are not, so the reason I didn't send them tonight because they're the same thing. I added the pomegranate. And of course, you're going to see it because you're seeing what I'm seeing here. The Hebrew word that is translated as good in its root form is tov. Everybody say tov. Remember the B with a line underneath it. How many see the B with the line underneath it? It's pronounced with a V. Tov. We see the B and we want to pronounce it in English. But if you see a B with a line underneath it, that's a V sound in Hebrew. Tov. So Brother Scotto say Boker Tov. Not broke your toe, but Boker Tov. Right? So if you want to remember what good morning is, think about broken toe. And you'll never forget it for the rest of your life. So I learned that from one of the Hebrew classes I took online. The guy said, if you want to remember it, think about a broken toe, and you're always going to remember Boker Tov. So that's Strong's 2896, and carries the meaning pleasant, good, agreeable, beautiful, to be present, done well. In the true understanding of this word, tov, we can see that it's best translated in most cases as functional. Now I'm standing here, and I'm hearing myself say this last year. Last year I'm saying this exact slide, reading the same one. It's functional. Good means functional. So when God created everything, he says, it's good, he meant it's functional. It's doing what I created it to do. And I said that exactly like that last year. Is that bringing back memories? Yep. It's exactly what God says. When he said it was very good, he said it's very functional. He was excited. That was an excitement because Jehovah looked at it and go, man, it's very good. This thing's working. Just like I planned it. And Jehovah said in Genesis 1:31, which Brother Scott was making a reference to, but he couldn't get to the slide. He read it, but couldn't get to it. He wanted to be there bad. Because I know he's a Boker Tov guy. So he wanted to be here. That when he saw all that he had made, he said it was very good or very functional. What he saw was his creation functioning properly and working the way it should, and that is why it was good. Once it's functioning the way it should, what it was created, designed to do, that's when it's good. That's when I always said this. I'm going to say what I said last year. So don't be saying you're good when you're not functioning. You're not functioning right. Somebody says, you're good? Oh, I'm good. And so for a while, folks caught hold of that, and I say, you're good? And they go, well, almost. I'm getting there. I'm working on it. So that's telling me we need to pray more, right? And I need to make sure what you said. I'm not naive about it. I want to make sure I'm praying for you. But if you say you're good, means you're functioning at what you were created and designed to do. And how many people know that that's just not so in a lot of times? It's not happening. Because we're up against stuff. We're up against it. The Hebrew root word translated here in Yirmiyahu as spalt is ra. You see why it's very important to keep it there? Ra. Strong 7451, meaning bad, evil, wicked, harmful. Just as we understand that Tov represents with that which is functional, we can see that Ra represents that which is dysfunctional. How incredible is that? So we got figs that are good, very good, he calls these figs. In the other basket, we have figs that are spoilt, meaning Ra. They're very evil. They have no functioning capability. These figs are going to function to do what they did. They're functioning what? To make appeal to your eye, appeal to your smell, appeal to your taste. The spoilt ones are not appealing to the eye, they're not appealing to the smell, they're not appealing to the taste. They don't appeal to none of that. Because you see what he's showing Jeremiah about these two baskets of figs, how important it is? And we're in one of those baskets. Every one of us here, we're in one of those baskets. We can call ourselves whatever we want to call ourselves. We're in one of those baskets, and we can't kid ourselves. And you can keep kidding yourself, but guess what's going to come? You're going to be in a boat while Yeshua is sleeping in the hinder part, and a storm's going to come up, and he's going to check to make sure you know where you are. You can say wherever you want to be, but he's going to check where you are, and then he's going to get up and say, why you have a little faith? There's no faith there. You're not trusting me. I said we're going to the other side. Bottom line, done. Finished, period. We're going to the other side. It don't make no difference if the boat's half sunk, the sails broke, and the rows are breaking in half. Does that matter? Does that matter? You've been through a storm? Does that matter? Does it matter that you had a hiccup, a bump in the road? You had a tragedy? The house burned down? Does that matter? Does it matter? Does that change who Jehovah is? It doesn't matter. And there's going to be some things that we're going to have to face, and we're going to face tragedies and difficulties. Does it matter? Does it change who he is? And so these 10 spies, they see the land, and there's no way we can take them. We're like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We can't do it. And Caleb says, silence! What are you talking about? That which represents dysfunctional is dysfunctional, which simply put, speaks of that which reveals an abnormal, unhealthy lifestyle that is not functioning as it should. You don't want to have an abnormal, unhealthy lifestyle. Let me tell you what's not normal. Not having an ability to make Shabbat. That's not normal. Not for those who have taken the Shabbat as a seal and a sign to the rest of the world that we followers of Jehovah. That's not normal. Now, you might be going somewhere and you might have a vacation plan. I understand that. But if it keeps happening repeatedly, that's not normal. That's not normal. I'm just letting you know. You can call it whatever you want. Well, it just seems like every time something comes up, let me tell you, it's going to keep coming up. You got yourself on a line, and that line is not leading you to Yehovah. It's leading you away. You got to get off of that line and get back online in line with him and get your determination and your zeal to be in his presence where it needs to be. It's not normal that you can't do any of the feast days. Somehow there's something going on every time. That's not normal. It's not normal that you can't study your Bible at all. It's not normal. It's not normal that you can't pray. It's not normal. That's an unhealthy lifestyle. Very unhealthy. It's not functioning the way it should. The figs that were brought back from Canaan by the two spies bearing it on a pole would have been good, ripe figs, and symbolically we are able to already see here a clear separation between those bearing good fruit and those that are not. So who you think bore the poles now that we've gone through all this? There were only two guys that was going to walk all that way bearing this good fruit to have a good story when they got there. The 10 didn't want to participate no more. They were distraught. They were defeated. They was like, I can't wait to get back home and hug my children because we're all dying tomorrow. We're dead. Just like the disciples in the boat. Don't you care that we perish? In their mind, they were done. Boat sinking. The sails broke. The other side's way over there and we right here. We're done. Don't you care we perish? We see a clear separation between those bearing good fruit and those that are not. The 10 spies were dysfunctional in their belief and proved to be rotten and spoilt in trust, in the trust of Elohim. What we need to take note of is that the fig trees is the least tree to produce the last tree to produce leaves, which happens right before summer, and we are given this analogy of the fig tree as a sign of the end times. So, what do you think is going to happen? I'm going to stop, brother. I'm not going to actually stop, but it's good enough. You don't have to switch the CD. Because, I mean, I'm never going to have enough time. Ever. If I do, then I ain't studied right. I missed something. Listen, this fig tree is representing end times. Where we are? Where are we right now? Don't you think at this time is where all the stuff's going to start happening? All the hiccups and the potholes and the bumps in the road is all going, all the tragic stuff's going to happen. Because the enemy knows at the last hour I got to deceive as many as I possibly can. And he can't do a thing against you if you don't let him. Now you're going to be in a group. There's several groups we talked about. You're going to be Tov or Ra. You're going to be in a good fig basket or a bad fig basket. Or you're going to be one of the 10 or one of the 2. Now, where's the majority? The majority was in the 10. So it seemed like the majority always wins. In life, that's how it seems. The minority suffer. The majority wins. That's just what you learn from the time you're able to understand. You learn that. Well, God says, I'm going to get a people out of a people. There'll just be a few. And he said, I'm going to make it so tight that I'm going to narrow the passageway and only a few will find it. But the other way is broad. Lots of people on there. We don't want to follow what Jehovah says. We don't want to keep those feast days. We don't want to have to obey the laws. Are you serious? We don't have to do that over here, so we're not going to do that. So they're okay with that. That's fine. But should we stop preaching the truth? Should we stop telling what he says? Should we stop doing that? We shouldn't stop. Just because you might have a family member that don't see what you see, does that mean you stop witnessing? Does that mean you stop living it for yourself? You don't pull back and say, well, I fear I'll lose them too. When you do those things, that's behaving like a fig that's in a rotten basket. You're like the 10 who couldn't see, they couldn't have faith at all. Even though God said, I'm giving you the land. That's what they were going off, the giving of the land. Even though God said something to you, did he not promise something? So if you want to know what I'm believing what the promise said. I'm believing it for every one of you here. Most of you here, I know what the promise is that God gave you. I know what he gave to your family. I know what he told you. And you say, and so what we try to do is we try to talk our way out of the promise. Well, how do you do that when somebody's not being obedient? The question is, are you being obedient? Does it take everybody to stand firm? Or does it take one person? One person can stand up. Because let me tell you, when everybody's scattered, Yeshua was standing by himself and he had to decide. Do I leave too? Do I get out of this mess I'm in? Or do I go back to the Father and say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. When you strike the shepherd, what happens to the sheep? And what happened when they struck Yeshua? The sheep scattered. But he didn't scatter. He stood by himself between two thieves. And he said, God, this is what you called me for, and that's what I'm going to do. Somebody got to stand. Because the one who stands is what? What was Yeshua? A repairer of the breach. The breach was big. It looked like there was no hope for the world. Somebody got to stand in the gap. And is it you? Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I do know this. If you don't stand, who's going to stand? If you don't hang on to the promise, who's going to hang on to the promise? Either God lied or he told you the truth. And if he told you the truth, you don't let go for nothing and for no reason, because position is everything. It's everything. And this is so important. So, wow. I'm going home with a lot more to say. Because I want to encourage you. And it gets better. This week's Torah portion, let me tell you, it's challenging us. It's going to challenge us to the core. It's going to make us mad. You're going to be mad at me. You're going to be mad at me. It's going to challenge us. But it's for our benefit. It's for our benefit. So this week coming up is Korah. Let me tell you. That's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to bring a resistance. But I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to stay with him. I'm going to do what Yeshua did. I'm going to listen to what my father said. My father told me we're going to the other side. You do whatever you want. You know, I wonder how many of the disciples said, I'm jumping out. I'm going to the bank. And so people want to move, and they don't realize that Jehovah called Yeshua to lead those guys. But everybody's got an idea. Everybody's got a way out. And we don't have to do it this way. We don't have to do that. I better let y'all go before I do next week's Torah portion. Because it ain't Friday yet, but I feel like it. God is good. Amen. Well, thank God for you, all of you here. I appreciate you. Keep in mind these things. If you want more of them, you can access them. You can access them all. I don't know where we stopped, what number we stopped on. We didn't make 100, huh? So there's probably 60 or 70 more slides that we didn't even cover. So if you want to look at more, they're there. They're full of stuff. He goes into chapter 14. We didn't even get to chapter 14. Very powerful. If I just read chapter 14, we could go on and on and on about it because there's so many wonderful things there. So let's continue to pray for one another.